The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver, Phil Liberatore.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. It is a Friday, and my goodness, we are on a little early. For those of you that were hoping to hear Leo Terrell, he will be back Monday for Leo 2.0. Don't worry, I'm filling in for the hour. SC football at 6 o'clock, and as a Bruin, it's hard for me to even say that, but the Trojans will be on in an hour. So I have the hour. Pull up a chair, pour a little coffee, join us. If you've not heard my program before, this is the Frank Sontag Show. I'm normally on 7 to 9 Friday evenings. I have the blessing of being on now for the next hour. We're going to take some calls, 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. And if you know nothing about what I do, I embrace disagreement. So if you've not heard my program and I say something that ticks you off, pick up the phone and call me. We can have respectful discourse, which is lacking in the public media and the public dialogue in this day and age. We live in cancel culture time where I can't handle that because I'm so soft, that guy I disagree with, so I just want to shut him down. Not my brand of radio. I've been in talk radio for 35 years. I've done various different types of programs. I was a New Age guru for 21 years. I had a late night Sunday night talk show. The LA Times called me, well, a lot of things, and I had a very dramatic shift in life in 2009. I'm now a man of faith. I would call myself a follower of Christ, and I think even in the church these days, a lot of people don't know who he is. There's this Jesus that's taught in the church, and it's not the Jesus that I know through the Bible and the relationship I have with him. What do I mean? Well, I think he's a warrior. In fact, later in the hour, we're going to talk a little bit about manhood and about warriorship and about what's going on in our culture. 21 million 10 to 19-year-old young boys are being raised right now in America. 21 million. And they don't even know what a man is. I grew up, at least I saw John Wayne in movies, and I had an idea, okay, that's a man. And we can chop it out and go, well, that's not exactly the man that maybe we are to strive for, but manhood is under attack. The family is being taken out. And we're just supposed to navigate through these waters, a day and age where we're under assault daily with information and noise. Look, you may think I'm a dinosaur, and I'm not hearkening back for the old days. I'm not saying we need to live in caves and spark some flint and live by the fire. Technology is a thing. It's both good and bad, depending on how it's used. But when I grew up, I knew nothing about what was going on in the world until I got a morning paper. Now, at the press of a button, we're bombarded with information. Our kids are being raised post-COVID with this idea of they don't even know if they're going to live the next moment. Yeah, speaking of COVID, we went from 15 days to slow to spread to getting fired for declining a vaccine, a quote-unquote vaccine, which isn't even a vaccine. Doctors, nurses, teachers, first responders, service members, more, all lost their jobs over a refusal to get injected with an experimental drug. Speaking of service members, it is Veterans Day. We thank you for your service. Later in the broadcast, I'm going to run a piece that I've done almost every year since I've been on the air. It's called 6 Seconds. We take so much of life for granted. And I'm just here to say no. Life is not to be taken for granted. Life is precious. Every moment is a blessing. You can't change the way other people think or treat you, but you can change the way you respond. And I'll tell you this. What we witnessed Tuesday and what we're continuing to see now in a country like America, where we've had these, you know, changing a little bit of the laws because of COVID. We can't go vote in person. We got to do the mail-in and you know, Arizona and Nevada. Well, we're going to be counting ballots for the next 14 years. Are you serious? We can't fix this? Or maybe those in positions of authority, this is exactly the way they want it. And last thing I'll say, I think it's very easy to be distracted and disillusioned. I saw a heartbreaking piece last night from Jordan Peterson on those that are just broken in our world now, and we're missing them. 2 years post-lockdowns and people just having breakdowns and not being able to just push through day to day. We're under an assault. I think it's a spiritual assault. I have a men's ministry. We try to breathe into the fire of men and who we are and who God made us to be. But I'm here to tell you, you're not a mistake. God didn't somehow have a reset with you. You were created in His image. And we can get a little into different faiths and different belief systems, and I get all that. And people may profess, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God. Or you've had a bad experience growing up, religious abuse. You know, I hear you. But I don't know how anyone can function in this day and age without a faith in God. Maybe you don't think evil exists. I was a New Age guru for 21 years. I taught a lot of pablum. It's just about love. Let's just all love each other. Evil is not a force. It's just the absence of good. I taught this stuff for 2 decades. Let's just all get together. Hold hands. Kumbaya, right? Evil's not a force? Are you flipping kidding me? Have you looked around over the last few years? What's going on in our culture, in our country, in the world? Evil doesn't even mask itself anymore. And again, there's some people, they get a little, their feathers ruffle when I start talking about faith. Oh, because they're sour toward God. But evil? How do you address evil? Do you jump on the mob mentality, which is popular, where you point the finger and it's other people and you scapegoat other entities and it's the Democrats, it's the Republicans, it's this, it's that. They're all the problems. Cancel culture, the mob mentality. I subscribe to the mirror mentality, where I look in the mirror and I like, okay, dude, you're either part of the solution or part of the problem. How are you going to live your life today? And last thing, we'll break and come back. I've got a guest in the hallway I'll bring in. For me, I lived so much of my life, 54 years, compromised, in fear, going along with the status quo. Didn't want to rock the boat. And one day I woke up and I realized I was miserable. I was empty. I was a shell. I had no idea who I was. I was other people's thoughts and opinions. Everybody liked me. And then I woke up and I thought, what a waste. I've compromised my whole life. Where are the leaders? Being a leader is a lonely walk, but I look around in culture, I use the example of growing up. Men, male role models. Leaders take shots. It's a lonely life, but my goodness. We've kind of been relegated to the back 40 by choice. And we have people that are in positions of authority that the last thing they are leaders. There's a little document that was written a couple hundred years ago. Starts out with we the people. Where are we the people? What are we doing? I'm not supporting anarchy. I'm not saying anything about overthrowing the government, although you may want to read the Declaration of Independence a little bit. But the idea of looking to government and saying, if you're a sheer numbers person, there's a few of them and a lot of us. And here's the very last thing I'll say because we're up against a break. I do not believe we are as divided as we hear over and over every day. I think that's a ruse. I think that is a lie from hell. I think we're distracted. I think we're living under a spirit of distraction and delusion and deception. But I think we mostly want the same things. And the media drives this point over and over, which creates a, we need the government. Send me another free check, right? No. It's time for us to step up. It's time for you and I to step up and say, who am I? Why am I here? What am I doing with my life? God has a perfect plan for your life and a purpose. And for me, my heart is about men and manhood. I have a men's ministry. If you listen to my Friday night program, you know a lot about it. We do events all over Southern California. And so when we come back, I'm going to bring a man in here who I've gotten to know is one of my speakers, and we're going to talk about manhood. We're also going to take your calls, 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC, if you care to call the program. You are more than welcome to. I'll remind you again, Leo will be back Monday at the normal time, 5 to 6 from for Leo 2.0. My name is Frank Sontag. You are listening to the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. We've got SC football in about 45 minutes. I normally have a 7 to 9 program tonight. I was preempted and was asked to come in and do this, which normally is Leo 2.0. Again, he will be back Monday at the regular time. I have a ministry called KMG Ministries. I began it a number of years ago. My heart is for men and manhood. And where are the men? We do Bible studies, discipleship programs, leadership. We do retreats. We do gatherings. And recently, I started watching this guy on Instagram called Fifth Horseman. And I'm like, who is this dude? Well, he happens to be in studio right now because he's developed into a brother. And also, we do ministry together. Do I introduce you?
Yeah. Yeah, what the heck?
Steve Prowse, welcome to the Frank Sontag Show.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Well, this is somewhat unplanned, unexpected.
Very.
But it's kind of been organic. Tell our listeners a little bit about who you are. And obviously, the heart of what we want to discuss is manhood and the state of our culture right now.
Okay, first, and I don't know, try and keep this short. I'm a pastor's kid, but not the good kind. My horns held up my halo my whole life. And so I was always around what I guess you could say were the first megachurch pastors. My dad worked for this Christian television station, TBN, and I was chased around the entire studio by Paul and Jan, mostly Jan Crouch, because I was always like the happy fat kid in the green room stealing the M&Ms and eating the food before the guests came on. And so I just...
By the way, for the listeners, you're not the fat kid anymore, let alone short.
Yeah, yeah.
Things have changed. You've filled out quite well, sir. Anyway.
But it's been interesting because I think for the better part of my life, I've avoided the radar, avoided cameras, everything. I've had some, you know, the honor of growing up next to some incredible men in my life, especially, you know, my father, Pentecostal pastor, but more so my grandfather. He was a World War II bomber pilot, Army Air Corps. On his 25th mission, he was shot down over Bernburg, Germany. After that, he could have written his ticket and done anything. So 10 and a half months in prisoner of war camps, two death marches in the snow. And he taught me probably one of the most crucial lessons of my life. You know, he died when I was 21. I was actually one of the last people to see him alive before he went into a coma, didn't wake up. He made me swear on his deathbed, never join the military or police, never fight another man's battle you don't have a say in.
Wow.
But he did that because two death marches in the snow, he said, I survived by pouring all the hatred within me into the Nazi in front of me. And if we think about just our fiber, right, especially when it comes to Christianity, right? God is love. God is love, especially like the New Age stuff. Everything's love, puppies and rainbows. It's not. That's BS. What it is, you know, in your darkest days, what do you feed off of, right? And your spirit, if your spirit isn't built up, hate's powerful.
Mm.
I think there's so much of the church that doesn't even allow us to even discuss that we serve the Lord of War, Jehovah Sabaoth, right? He's the same yesterday and today, and you know, yesterday, today, and forever. And so we take these things for granted. But long story short is my thing. I'm currently a firearms instructor, and I guess you could say a little, you know, influencer pastor as I look to the live footage on my phone. You can, you know, see me, find me online, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Christian TikTok. That's a thing. But for the most part, my thing has been to last few years, you know, I've spent several years as a missionary. I do disaster relief. I renovate bomb shelters in Israel, but I've avoided the radar. I've got some really cool friends. I have really big profiles, do amazing things. I love and respect and adore dearly. But my thing is, it's men. God has engaged me in spiritual warfare since I was a child. I saw the first dead body die when I was 6. I saw the first demon manifestation when I'm 7. I found the books on the occult when I'm 10, 11 years old, and I just went off the deep end with it. I didn't get very far. A pastor named Bayless Conley, who we know. He's a spiritual father, and he, when I was 15, he really taught me just a different way. But like I said, my horns held up my halo. I worked at the Playboy Mansion on and off for 5 years. You know, fast forward through, career in real estate technology, but then outside of that, back into, the church. I'm a security volunteer. I'm part of teams. I'm leading teams, and then just instructing a lot of part of my life. But no matter what, manhood has been driven out of the church for the last 50 years. It's actually, we have to deal with the reality that the church has been compromised. And so my role at the Fourth Watch, which is our Bible study group that's kind of grown on steroids, my thing has been walking and praying from 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning, engaging in spiritual warfare. And just so everyone knows, 12 to 3 is the highest level of witchcraft activity, and 3 to 6 is the highest level of demonic activity that's a result of the witchcraft that's accomplished. And so the reality is no one goes out of their comfort zone to walk and pray and engage and intercede, as Isaiah 59 and 58 tells us to do. Right? The Lord looked and saw that there was no man and wondered why there was no intercessor. And what did he do? He put on the cloak of vengeance. What are we seeing God about to do? Put on the cloak of vengeance. It's about to get real. And by God's grace, I've been ahead of the curve. And so now I'm speaking to men to reengage their spirit, their faith, their family, and to rise as protectors.
Steve Prowse is my guest. What would you say to the listener right now that says, okay, I may not be someone that I believe in God, I'm definitely not a Christian, but I am a man, and I know there's something very wrong in the culture as it applies to man and manhood. I mean, we live in a time where you hear this thing, I never thought I'd see the day where there'd be an argument over the two-gender thing. Like somehow there's 8,424 genders right now. So what do you say to the man out there listening right now that says, I know something's wrong. I may not necessarily believe in God, but I'm not sure what to do.
The first thing I'd say is there's a God I wish you knew. For whatever reason, whatever kept you from it, whatever, obstacle has been in your way, whether it's been yourself, the enemy, whatever, there's a God I wish you knew, because the Bible and the Word of God has, there's a reason why it's lasted this long. There's a reason why it's under attack. And there's a reason why everything that that man has tried up until that point hasn't worked. You can't even understand what's happening without the lens of the Bible. When you look at Romans 1, when you see that people that wanted a life without God, God doesn't force people into a relationship. And what does he do? He removes himself and gives them over to a debased mind. That's what we're seeing. And the other thing to understand is that there are demons. There are angels. What do demons influence? The top two things, attitude and emotions. What are we seeing flaring up in every country all around the world all at the exact same time? Attitude and emotions. If you want to know how accurate biblical prophecy is, and don't give me this noise about like, oh, which version, this, that, the author, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and know this: in the last days, perilous times will come. It enumerates 20 things that will happen prophetically, right? It's been true in one society or another, in one nation or another, all throughout history. It's never been true of every nation and every continent at the exact same time like it is right now. Personally, I feel America was the actual vehicle to convey that. So here's the non-church view. America gave the world three things in the 90s: the internet, cable news, and reality TV. Every country on earth has a version of those three things. And what did we really give the world? Our depravity, like our perversions. What's accelerated is the social acceptance of depravity and perversions. What are we trying to do? We're trying to medicate. We're trying to think happy thoughts. It doesn't work. Your mind will get you so far, but something that you have to understand about Christianity and faith as it relates, there's a certain point where your faith and reason part company. There's a certain point when you keep looking for human solutions to what are actually spiritual problems. At a certain point, you say, I need to find spiritual solutions to spiritual problems and not this mamby-pamby, I'm confused, I'm playing whack-a-mole with a pantheon of other gods and religions. It's like, no, there's a Christ, one of the most documented historical figures in all of antiquity, and somehow you think that, oh, he's just there for trivial reasons that don't even apply to you. There's a God I wish you knew.
Steve Prowse is my guest. We're breaking in 3 minutes. I'm going to say a statement. We're brothers. We don't agree on everything, and I'm not leading you any particular place, but what would you say to someone that says the greatest crisis in America right now is men not being men?
All day long, all day, every day. In fact, I would even argue that it's the man's role to get past his crap and his BS, and it's not the woman's. The man has to turn first. The man has to engage first. The man has to step forward first and show himself relevant, competent, capable, strong. We don't do that. So if we would, what happens? The Bible's filled with prophecy. The Bible's actually filled with examples of biblical curses where, if you notice how this works, the first thing that happens to a nation when it's under biblical curse, that the men can't be found to defend it. So what are the men not around to defend? The family, fatherhood, right? Children, the faith, the houses of God. We've had 50 years of bread and circus. And listen, I my horns held up my halo. But we're about to, you know, segue into, you know, the coverage of a game, right? It's bread and circus. You might not want to see it that way, but what did the Romans give, you know, what did Caesar give the Romans? Bread and circus, kept them distracted. So this is the number one thing that's affecting society right now, and fatherhood has to come back. Even if you have children and you are a father or not a father, you need to take a posture of fatherhood towards society.
Fatherlessness has been accepted as normal now. It's like not even a blip on the radar. I want to keep you one more segment, and maybe on the other side we can delve into that a little more. And also the idea of, okay, where do we go from here? For those that maybe have kind of caught their attention, they're in a state of, they look around and, you know, respect being what it is. If politics is your, where you care to partake and develop your energy and spend time, okay. I think the founding forefathers had an idea of what they were doing. But we waste time. We live in such distraction right now. So where do we go from here? How do we address? How do we use our time wisely? Steve Prowse is my guest. He's on Instagram at the Fifth Horseman and also the Fourth Watch. And we'll make sure and put information up on my website, franksontag.com. Also, today is Veterans Day. The last segment of the hour, I'm going to do a very special tribute. You don't want to miss that as well. Leo Terrell will be back Monday for Leo 2.0. For the remaining 30 minutes, I'm your host. My name is Frank Sontag. This is the Frank Sontag Show, and you are listening to Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC, welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. We are blessed and pleased that you've joined us. My guest is Steve Prowse. We're talking about culture, manhood, the state of our country and the world. I want to read you something, Steve, and would love your comments. Every time someone asks and wonders why fathers, as God's natural protectors, have been driven out of families, we have an obligation to reenlist them and educate them on the history and casualties of spiritual warfare. Our collective obligation to become intercessors and our ability and authority to call on spiritual reinforcements, all to push back on the long game we've been losing. It's time to flip tables and engage differently. God's people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Your comments.
I'm going to comment on my comment from earlier. That's not weird. It's not weird at all.
That is Steve's comment.
Okay, so, I mean, let's just cut the fat. I saw that because I was forwarding a video to close friends and people that, you know, I trust in this whole thing. I'm forwarding a video about the ties between the current governor of the state and his family and the fact that Kinsey, the sexual anarchist that was completely a mouthpiece for Satan, and what he did with children. He actually said when babies die, you know, or when babies, I think, cry after being, you know, assaulted, that's actual, you know, a good thing. You can't make stuff up. So he, you know, Hefner was his protege. And so I see this thing, and then I realize, oh my gosh, it goes into the video, and it says that the current governor was the one that actually instituted, the first one to, you know, institute his studies and his results and his teachings. And you have to understand, nothing happens on accident. Our engagement has to increase intentionally. And so what have we done? Manhood has said, like, oh, don't just step forward, stand somewhere. Just stand somewhere, show up to church, check the box, you know, be part of the country club, be a good member tither. And, you know that's it. That's as far as you need to spiritually go.
So to clarify, in part, what you're alluding to, I'll ask a question. Is that part of what we're seeing now being taught in public schools amongst our kids?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
As it applies to sexuality.
Absolutely. It's not just terrifying, it's actually sickening. But what's the reason it's so sickening? It's not because of what it is. We know the world's evil. The world is completely evil. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can search it? God. But what are we also seeing? What's more sickening is the fact that, like, the church is saying nothing. The church didn't go to war against one woman who pushed out prayer from schools in 1964. The church didn't maintain a vigilant campaign against, you know, the fact of, you know, murdering babies. Church didn't do any of these things. Why? The militant church was pushed out. We had too much of war. World War II, Korea, Vietnam. The militant gospel, just so you know, your Bible is full of a militant gospel. Mm-hmm. Jesus' own words, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword to turn parent against child. If we don't understand the word of God, if it's not in us, we're not going to see the signs for what they are. But for me, as I see it, our flipping tables, our moment has to start now. One reason why. The church age is over and the kingdom age is beginning. 2020 saw how many churches shut down, you know, at least part-time. After a couple weeks, a handful of them opened back up. But we've seen a 30% decrease in total churches that are open right now. That's not an accident. That's the biggest sign to us that the church age is over. What is the church age, right? A day unto the Lord is 1,000 years, as 1,000 years is unto a day. All the collective calendars and all of antiquity show that we are at the end of 6,000 years, about to enter 7,000 years. That's the seventh day. What's the last 1,000 years discussed in the Bible? It's the millennial reign of Christ. So the church age is over. The kingdom age is about to begin. What's supposed to happen in the kingdom age, the start of it? It's kind of violent. And everyone says, like, oh, the Old Testament, it's so violent. Like, no, the New Testament is far more violent than the Old Testament. Because, you know, God's new covenant, right, that he will not destroy the earth with water again. But he's going to destroy it with fire. And so people say, like, Maranatha, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. You have no idea what you're asking. You actually should be terrified. Because, you know, just as the seals and the bowls, everything's opened up, you know, 2/3 of the world's population is going to be gone. But what do they think? They think they get a pass. Most people think that they get a pass. So really what you're hinting at, and the reason why I sent that message and the comment on my comment, is that we have to stop wanting what we want, and we need to want what God wants.
I say oftentimes we're witnessing right now the mocking of God's creation.
Yeah. All day.
Where do we go from here? And again, this wonderful radio station, 790 KBC, we're not a religious station. This isn't necessarily a Christian program, although I am a follower of Christ as you are. Where do we go from here? And if indeed that's true, I oftentimes say to those that say they're Christian and they think Jesus is coming back to give out free hugs, you best read the last book of the Bible, because that's the last thing he's going to do. But yet, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? It's going to break loose, or it has been breaking loose. We had a friend pop in and say hi before the show, and he was like, what's going on over the last few years? It seems like things have really decelerated.
All right, so if you want to know what to do, like I said, I mean, honestly, like I have no worldly answers to give you. You can, even the Bible says, all the rich people in the world are going to crawl under, you know, into their caves in the mountains, and God's going to trap them there. He's going to kill them there. So you can't escape this. And even then, what kind of weak, tepid Christianity just wants a hall pass and wants to get out and just wants to say, like, oh, we just want to be raptured. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that's on display through us, is this weak, tepid, infertile, incapable God of enduring and sustaining. That's not the God that I serve. That's not the God of the Bible. And so what's happened is you need to realize the church has created an idol of Christ that doesn't exist. If you want to have a form of godliness but deny its power, call yourself a Christian and perform nothing that Christ did. Seek nothing that Christ did. Don't even, you're going to say, you're what, a follower of Christ? What does he say? You'll know my followers. They'll pray in other tongues, cast out demons, lay hands on the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Most Christians don't even think that's capable of them. Like, oh, my pastor does those things. Does he, though? Does he though?
Statistics in and of themselves, we're not here to pile on pastors, but pornography, they say 50% of men are addicted. I don't think every pastor is somehow inoculated from that.
Nope. Nope. So. 30% of all web traffic right now is pornography. 30%. So no matter what, even if it's not the pastor, it's inside the church. Because the church wasn't, if it's not blatantly trying to destroy the church leaves it alone. Every demonic entity running rampant through this country had to go through the church to get here. And so if you really realize, men, what do you want to do? Become spiritual. Open up your Bible, realize the footing and the authority and the dominion that Christ died and rose again to give you, and then see things differently, then engage yourself and your family differently. Revival is what we need.
Steve Prowse is my guest. Whether people profess faith in a God, we all have heard the term prayer. Spend a few moments before we need to break and talk about prayer and the power of prayer. And I know you at our last KMG event, you talked about praying violently and not necessarily praying for things, but praying against things as well.
Yep. So Matthew 6:33, and seek first the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness. And then Matthew 11:12, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. What does the church take by force? Nothing. What do men take by force? Nothing. You know, except a hold of the mouse and click away to, you know, whatever porn site they're going to watch, right? That's grab the remote and turn on a game. There's an aspect of prayer where we are actually called to shake the pillars of heaven in prayer and to intercede on other people's behalf. That's how we do it, first in prayer and then in person. So the role of a God-fearing man is to actually pray at the top of his lungs all the time and contend with God and prepare in person, because how else are you going to muster up the words to say to someone that's going to defile your kids? You think you're just going to come up with the words out of nowhere? How else are you going to stir God's heart if you don't even go, like, take the heavy ticket items to him? You're not going to stir God's heart. And so prayer has to come from a violent place. Listen, if everything's falling apart, pray. Pray to the top of your lungs and actually start yelling at God and see what he says back. See, the reality is all of us should be praying to the point that he either blesses us or kills us. But what are we doing? We're playing it safe. We're playing it too small, because either on one half we have, you know, no faith. We don't believe that he's actually there. On the other half, we're terrified that he's there and he's paying attention and we're doing nothing.
Steve Prowse is my guest. We've got about 90 seconds. Talk a little bit about your ministry, how people can find you.
Okay, Instagram and TikTok at fifth.horse, fifth.horse. I think YouTube at Fifth Horseman is a new handle, or at the fourth watch. So our website is www.forth.watch at fourth.watch. So you can find us there, a bunch of content. We try and help people all the time, try and speak to men all the time, lead them forward. But my goal is to help men realize, you know, who they are in Christ, and to actually engage their families in the biblical framework of what's available to us often, daily, hourly, minutely. But listen, hell's flourishing, right? It's on display. We're not. We need to change that.
Steve Prowse is my guest. For those of you listening in the KABC audience, it is a blessing to fill in for Leo Terrell. He'll be back Monday for Leo 2.0. I recognize this isn't, shall we say, the usual programming, but I will tell you this. Before we break, I've been doing Friday nights here for about 5 months now. I've been in radio 35 years. I don't drive to the KABC studios to just cash a paycheck and look at my ratings. This is serious stuff. Not that we can't have fun, too. There is a place for humor and laughter. But I know, those of you listening right now, you know something is deeply wrong and you're desperate for answers. This is the time to pray. God made you. You may not believe in God. He made you with a plan and a purpose. And maybe as we move forward, life can not only get, well, a little bit shaky and terrifying, but life can get very exciting. And especially as men, the women have carried the ball long enough. So many young boys are being raised in homes where mom is being dad and mom. We say no more. Steve says it through his ministry. I say it through my ministry. No more. It's time for men to step up and take ground back. It's time for men to find out who they are.
And what does it say about us, by the way? We keep seeking these proxies, these politicians stand in the gap, and we want to hire someone else to do our work. We want to hire someone else to actually make it easier and better for us. We don't want to stand in the gap. And so the Bible, you know, we celebrate these things like, here I am, send me, wear t-shirts, all these things. It's like, really? Okay, so are you more focused on, you know, the political pageantry, or are you actually more focused on engagement?
Yeah, amen. Steve Prowse has been my guest. You can find him on social media at the5th.horse and also 4th Watch.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you, brother. One more segment. We're going to honor the vets and some closing thoughts next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. I am sitting in for the one and only Leo Terrell. Leo Terrell 2.0 will be back on Monday at the same time. We have SC football, and I wince when I say that. I'm a Trojan, but I'm a Bruin. I'm not a Trojan. Goodness gracious. Pull me off the air. The vibes of the Trojans are in the midst, in the air. This is Veterans Day. I want to play an audio piece for you, and I want to listen you to listen closely. Now, you can see the visual clip on YouTube. I've played this a lot over the last number of years through my radio show. And obviously, this is the day we honor service for veterans. And I want to introduce you to two men, not only who served our country and were the epitome of who men are, but I want you to listen closely to this idea of 6 seconds. Now, I don't know about you. I don't think twice about the day and time and 6 seconds. I mean, it goes by in the blink of an eye. How would you live your life if you knew you only had 6 seconds? How would you respond? How would you react to a life-threatening and actually life-ending circumstance? The Bible says no greater love hath he than to lay his life down for a friend. I want you to listen to this clip. This is in honor of all the vets that have served our country.
6 seconds, all it took to turn this quiet Iraqi street into a moment both horrific and heroic. Lance Corporal Jordan Herter and Corporal Jonathan Yale died so others would live.
You're talking about two guys that gave up everything for their brothers.
Marine brothers from very different worlds. Yale's was hardscrabble Virginia. From a troubled home, he hungered to belong.
He touched your heart as soon as you met him.
So Reverend Leon Burchett took Yale in.
He never had a whole lot, but he was thankful for what he did have.
On Long Island, New York, Jordan Herter grew from middle-class toy soldier into mature Marine.
He would have you back, you know, without a shadow of a doubt.
Last April, Yale and Herter were guarding the entry to their platoon's camp in Ramadi, standing here, out of sight. It was 7:30 in the morning. They had just met. Suddenly, this suicide truck appeared, 2,000 pounds of explosives heading toward them and dozens of sleeping Marines.
It's like staring at the biggest, ugliest thing you could in the face and standing there.
Almost staring at death itself.
Absolutely.
This puff of smoke is the two Marines shooting at the driver. They killed him, but then the truck erupted, and its force ended this videotape.
I remember seeing a giant fireball.
So powerful, the blast leveled a city block. Yale was dead, Herter was dying. But everyone else nearby, Marines and Iraqis, survived.
And they made a heroic choice and ended up, you know, saving 50 people.
Even by Marine standards, the heroism was extraordinary. The top Marine general in Iraq personally interviewed Iraqi witnesses, then nominated the two Marines for the Navy Cross.
They made a lot of decisions in that 6 seconds, and one of them was to die.
The tape showed this Iraqi policeman had time to run. He lived. They died.
They wouldn't have stood there and done what they did unless they were Marines all the way to the DNA.
Herter had a hometown hero's return on Long Island, like Yale in Virginia.
He became a man that day in his action.
Today, at a Marine museum in Virginia, the families of Herter and Yale got their Navy Crosses.
You know, none of us will ever be able to know or experience that split second, brother.
They started the day strangers. Their shared valor made them brothers forever.
That was an event that happened some, now it's been, I think, 15 years ago. This is the Frank Sontag Show. When I first heard about the story, it was a lead story back then. It just kind of rocked me, thinking, here's two guys from two different backgrounds. They're thrown in the middle of Iraq. They don't know each other. They're called to guard the post at the crack of dawn. They're literally at the gate for just a few moments, don't even know each other, and here comes a big truck. And they obviously knew it was bad news. So in 6 seconds, they had to know that this was the end. And so they shot the driver, the truck blew up, but they saved more than 50 men, 50 people in that area. And I can't help but just jump to this closing thought. I've never been in a life and death situation where I knew I was about to sacrifice my life to save somebody else. But I think in this day and age, when we look at the physical realm, there's much more than just this realm. There's the spiritual realm. And right now there is an enemy of us. There is a name for him. How much are you willing to risk and give your life to protect and save other people spiritually? This is a battle for the hearts and souls, not only of men, but of everybody. You know, we just saw a thing happen this week with Proposition 1 in our state.
Yeah.
Where I think of, and I'm not here to point the finger, but how we have normalized the ritual killing of babies. You go back 2,000 years, this is Moloch all over again. And what does it say about a culture? You know, years ago, when I was a New Ager, Gandhi once said, you will know a culture by the way it treats its animals. Now you look at a culture, you will know a culture by the way it treats its people. I saw some young buck on Twitter. He's got about 1 million followers. I don't know who this clown is. He's a young lefty. He's ranting and raving about the elections and so pride-filled, so lost. And he said something to the effect, his pinned post was, I'm all about agreeing to disagree except when it gets down to human rights. And I thought, his idea of human rights is not my idea of human rights. And when you talk about human rights and babies, 70 million? Again, I don't want to end on a dour note, but I just want to say, if we don't start calling things for what they are, I commented this morning on, I think, Instagram. I said, there will be a day when we're all going to stand in judgment. And I'm not here to preach fire and brimstone, but I will tell you this. We live in a time where truth is called a lie and lie is called truth. You know it. You see it. Stop being complicit. Stop enabling it. Start speaking out against it. You may tick some people off. You may take a risk and realize not everybody will like you. But my goodness, when you take your last breath in this short life, don't have the last fleeting thought thinking, I compromised my whole life. I came from fear. I didn't speak the truth. I didn't stand for things that I know are supposed to be stood for. And don't be confused by all of the noise. The very last thing I'll share with you. You want to be courageous? Unplug everything and spend some time in quiet solitude. And if you don't believe there's a God, just spend some quiet time and go, I may not even believe you're there, but if you're real, reveal yourself, make yourself known, get ready. Your socks may fly off and your seatbelt may go flying because there is a God and he's not missing anything. But my goodness, stop buying the distraction. Stop buying into the doom and gloom. The media has nothing for you. But God has everything for you and he's waiting for you. He gives us free will. Real love is free will, where you choose. And so my hope and prayer is, Lord willing, I'll do this program for many more months, whatever time of day it is on this wonderful radio station. But as I sign off for tonight, I just want to say a quick prayer. Lord, please speak to those listening right now. Make them know this is not a dress rehearsal. This is a real deal. And evil is running rampant. We need to stop it. Stop living it. God, we have a reverence and an honor for you. Please forgive us. We repent of our ways. We put our faith and trust in you again. And please lead us in this time by which you're patiently watching and waiting for only so much longer. I want to thank my brother Steve Prowse for jumping in. Yep. I want to thank you, our KABC family. I want to thank Leo Terrell. I want to thank Drew Hayes. And we are blessed and honored to speak our truth through this radio station and through these airwaves. If you want to find out more about me, just go to franksontag.com. You are listening to Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver Phil Liberatore.